Srila Prabhupada ki jai. By the force of the pregnancy of Diti, the light of the sun and moon was impaired in all the planets, and the demigods of various planets, being disturbed by that force, asked the creator of the universe, Brahma, what is this expansion of darkness in all directions? So this is describing, this verse is describing the appearance of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And this verse is describing a phenomenon that we see from time to time described in the Vedic literatures. And that is the effect on the universe of the appearance of demoniac personalities. So according to this verse, they were still in the womb. They hadn't yet even come out. But yet, they were causing so much of disturbances in the universe. And this phenomenon, it appears a few times. I just describe a few of them. Like this the appearance of Kamsa. When Kamsa appeared, the world was surrounded by omens and inauspicious signs. And some of them were the vanishing moon and dust storms. At the moment of Kamsa's appearance, the moon disappeared. No one could see the moon anymore. And there were dust storms. And there was thundering in the sky. And there were earthquakes. And it's described there was tumbling of the stars. Stars appeared to be falling from the sky. And Kamsa's physical appearance and behavior was abnormal and very frightening. And then there was the description in the Ramayana of the appearance of Ravana. He said the moment Ravana appeared, blood started to rain from the sky. Animals like jackals and other vicious beasts, they howled. The whole atmosphere became unnatural. The sky was filled with darkness. There was ominous clouds. And a sense of dread pervaded the entire universe. The earth trembled. There was earthquakes and intense storms appeared. And upon the birth, Ravana was really frightening, dreadful to behold, possessing 10 heads, 10 pairs of arms, and the manifestation of his monstrous nature. And in the Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, we read about the austerities of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he performed austerity for many thousands of years, and he stood on his tippy toes. And he reached out with his hands towards the sky. And just by that act, the whole universe started to tremble. And the demigods, they panicked. And when the demigods panic, where do they go? They go running to Brahma. That's their first recourse. They run to Lord Brahma. And that's what we see in this verse. You know, the force of the pregnancy of Diti was so powerful that they became disturbed. Now, these things are somewhat difficult to understand. But they, you know, we can sort of extrapolate from some basic understanding. Like we know, from the science of Vastu that every object emits a certain type of energy. And where you place that object in your house, it has a certain influence on the environment. This is one technique we use when we distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. We say to the people that when you keep Srimad Bhagavatam in your house, you have the full vastu of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The full vastu. And I say, if you doubt me, open Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, text, chapter number 3, text number 40, where Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, one can get from the Bhagavatam the same benefit one can get from the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one's home. You read that in the purport of 1340. That's the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can understand that these big, great demonic personalities, they have some very, very powerful energies. And simply by the manifestation of their presence, it creates a disturbance all over. Even in earlier on, we're reading in this canto that Hiranyaksha, he was like doing things on the earth that upset the whole stability of the planet Earth. And the moment he did that, what happened? Bhumi fell right down to the bottom of the Garbha ocean. So you can imagine how powerful these demonic personalities are. And one thing that they did, or one influence that they had, is that, and you see it was consistently with Ravan and Kamsa, they affect the planets. They affect the transmission of light. We know from Srila Prabhupada's teachings that darkness has no independent existence. Prabhupada speaks about this concept of evil. Sometimes some people ask, what is the source of evil? You know, who creates evil? How does evil come about? And Prabhupada says, evil is just like darkness. Darkness has no independent existence. Like, you can't go and switch on a switch and say, let darkness appear. Darkness is simply the absence of light. It has no separate or independent existence. The moment you turn on the light, darkness is gone, but you can't manifest darkness by itself. And we all recall this famous verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes and which appears in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Aya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Maya Ara Adhikar. That Krishna is compared to sunshine and Maya is compared to darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion, the influence of the external energy, will immediately vanish. And this is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22:31. So, when the demons appear, if we take the cue from this verse, it is the suppression of Krishna consciousness. It's the suppression of sattva guna. And then thus the darkness manifests. As long as there's Krishna consciousness, darkness won't appear. And as long as there is Krishna consciousness, the demonic influence can never proliferate. It cannot expand. Therefore, it is said that for the next 10,000 years, this Krishna consciousness will hold back the tide of Kali Yuga. But after 10,000 years, the full weight and influence of Kali Yuga will expand upon the universe. Therefore, it's so important for all of us to do our best to spread Krishna consciousness as far and as wide as possible. Because by spreading Krishna consciousness, the demoniac forces, the demoniac influences of the world are held back. So the next point I wanted to make is the very interesting point here that Srila Prabhupada makes about the modern scientific theory. And Prabhupada says, the modern scientific theory states that there are many suns in the universe. And this is not supported by this verse. Now, how many of you all knew or were aware that there is a broad acceptance in scientific circles that there is more than one sun in the universe? You're aware. So there's a few of us who are aware of this. Jupiter has some 12 suns. Okay, does anyone have any idea, according to my modern scientific theory, how many suns are in the solar system? No, scientific theory. I know according to Vedic philosophy, Prabhupada says there's one sun. But according to scientific theory, how many suns are in the solar system? Okay, let me. Yeah. Okay, the galaxy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. The actual number, plus, given, minus, is 10 to the power 22. 1 million is 10 to the power 6. So you can imagine. Can anyone even pronounce what's 10 to the power 22? So someone may say, what's going on here? Why can there be, how can there be such a significant discrepancy between the Vedic philosophy and scientific theory? And one may ask the question, so how do the scientists come up with this number? 10 to the power 22. Actually, the scientists, they don't make it up. Although we would like to think they make it up. So, the world's most powerful telescope is the James Webb Space Telescope. And this telescope is positioned 1 million miles from Earth. And this telescope can see billions of miles into the space. They are not small objects. They are very powerful. You know, they can see. You know, it is said that it allows them to observe the universe's first galaxies, which were formed 13.5 billion years. which dates back to the 120 million years of the, within inverted commas, Big Bang. So they do this not by, how do they say, you know, just they've got some means to calculate and support whatever they are putting forward. So one may say, okay, you know, we don't completely disagree, although we may challenge some of your scientific means, because you know, this is all based on light. Your telescope has got mirrors, and you're talking about light coming from light years away, and there's reflection and diffraction, and so many things can happen with the light, you know, so there's so many possibilities of you going, but give you the benefit of the doubt, you know, your calculations, you know, we can. And I'll come back to it later. Also, that there is a lot of, agreement between Vedic cosmology and modern cosmology. To the extent, there was this very famous program in television called Cosmos that was presented by someone called Carl Sagan. And Carl Sagan once said, the closest understanding of modern cosmology that we can find on Earth today can be found in the Vedic literatures. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, making this point about one sun and many suns and one stars and many stars. And I'll come back to what is the difference in the understanding. Why is 10 to the power 22 suns against one sun? And why is there such a difference? But before I do that, I just want to read one letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to his disciple Swarup Damodar Goswami, which covers a similar point that Srila Prabhupada is making in this purport. So this is a letter Srila Prabhupada wrote on the 21st of November 1975. While he was in Bombay. No, sorry, in Atlanta. Atlanta. Prabhupada says, "My dear Swarup Damodar Das, please accept my blessings. I am in due receipt of your letter dated November 9th, 1975. Regarding Manipur, I have replied your letter on November 12th. And Prabhupada talks about things. And Prabhupada goes on to say, I'm glad to note that your book about the origin of matter and life is progressing very well. This will be a great challenge. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn that the universe is like a tree with the roots being upwards. The pole star, which is situated within the asking question, starts constellation is the root. The universe is pivoting around the pole star. That is one movement. The second movement is that the sun is revolving around the universe, or as if we were going around the tree. That is the second movement. The sun is not fixed. If this is proved, then this whole scientific theory collapses. According to them, the stars are all suns. The stars may have the same composition as the sun, but they are not the suns. The Brahma Samhita says that the sun is the king with unlimited light and temperature. The Srimad Bhagavatam sublime literature describes all these things, and it was written 5,000 years ago. And they say 5,000 years ago there was no civilization. That Srimad Bhagavatam has this information proves that Indian civilization is the oldest civilization. So Srila Prabhupada in this letter is affirming the same point he's making. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. So Srila Prabhupada is making this point about one son. Now what I found really, really fascinating when I was reading this purport and I was reading this letter from Srila Prabhupada, Because in one sense, Srila Prabhupada knows why there is this difference between one sun and 10 million suns. And I thought, how amazing is Srila Prabhupada's knowledge? How amazing is his knowledge that he knows that there's a difference in the scientific theory about one sun, many sun, and he knows the reason, at least he gives one reason in this letter, why there is this difference. You know, I ask a question, dear devotees, if while you are preaching, you meet somebody who's got some inclination towards Krishna consciousness, but they also have some scientific background, right? And you start to explain to them about Vedic cosmology and one sun. And they says, no. There's more than one sun. There's 10 to the power 22 suns. Oh, what will you do? Will you say, you just don't know? He's a rascal scientist saying that. Just forget all of that. How well do you think that person is going to be receptive to your Krishna consciousness you're giving him? When you're dismissive to all of his years of scientific training and understanding. How receptive do you think he's going to be to your message of Krishna, our message of Krishna consciousness? Not very, isn't it? So I'm taking this letter and this purport from Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada is almost nudging us. Come on, understand a bit more about this. There's a story. Srila Prabhupada was traveling from Jaipur to Nairobi with Madhavisha Das, or Madhavisha Swami then. And in front of Srila Prabhupada, on the plane, was the Radha Krishna deities that they were taking from Jaipur to Kenya. So they're sitting on the flight next to each other, and then Srila Prabhupada turns to Madhavisha Swami and says, "Let's fight." And Madhavisha Swami says, "What is Prabhupada talking?" Prabhupada said, "Let's fight." And Madhavisha Swami said, "Prabhupada, what do you mean, let's fight?" Prabhupada said, "You be the Vaishnav and I'm the Mayavadi." Right? So Prabhupada starts presenting all these Mayavadi arguments. And Madhavisha Swami is saying, "Oh Prabhupada, I'm not a very good devotee, so I can't defeat you." So Prabhupada defeats Madhavisha. Then he says, "Okay, you be the Mayavadi and I'll be the Vaishnav now." And Madhavisha thinks, "Oh, okay, good. I know all the Mayavadi arguments from Srila Prabhupada, but I'll defeat him." So he starts presenting all the Mayavadi arguments, but guess what? Prabhupada defeats him with all the Vaishnav arguments. And Prabhupada says, "This is preacher. Preacher means you know all the opposing arguments, and you know all your arguments, and you can defeat them. This is what preacher means." So we need to understand. And I, when I was reading this purport and this letter, I was thinking, you know, firstly, I was amazed by Prabhupada's own knowledge on the subject matters. And secondly, you know, why would Prabhupada? And Prabhupada could have spoken out so much other things about the darkness and how it comes and the appearance. But in the purport, he went straight to this point. So Prabhupada, in the letter to Swarup Damodar Goswami, he explains that the sun and the stars are of a similar composition. And this is why the scientists say they are 10 to the power 22 suns. So the main reasons why they say the sun and the stars are the same is both are identical in composition and energy. Production. They have something called a spectroscopy, which was developed in the 19th century, and the scientists, they can analyze the light from the spectroscopy that's coming from the stars and the planets. And what did they conclude? That the light that is coming from the sun and the light that is coming from the stars are of a very similar nature, the light. Then they did some analysis of the physical nature of both the sun and the stars. And what they've concluded, both the stars and the sun are massive gravitationally bound spheres. Just like the whole universe is working on the gravitational pull of the sun, the stars are very similar. And they are made up of a similar type of material, plasma, and also the energy that comes from this is through nuclear fusion. So Prabhupada is saying in this letter, they are of a similar composition, but they are also very different. Like if you ask the scientists, explain to us the nature of the star. Is it a disk? Is it a sphere? Or what is the nature of the stars? They can't explain. But we see in the Mahabharata, there is one pastime where Arjun, who is the son of Indra, once Indra sent him a chariot. And this chariot, he said, you can go to the heavenly planets and get your weapons there. So we read in the Mahabharata how Arjun travels from planet Earth to the heavenly planets. And while he's traveling there, he goes through the place of the stars, where the stars are. And in the Mahabharata, it's described there that Arjun explains how the stars are self-luminous, how they are of great energy, how they have their own planets that are going around the stars. And then Arjuna says something very amazing. He notices in the stars, there are also kings living there. And it is explained that very pious kings, sometimes they are given their own star. They're given their own star. So on these stars, they're also inhabitants. Like we know from Bhagavatam, that Dhruva Maharaj, he was given his own star, the pole star. When he pleased the Lord, he was given his own star, the pole star, which Prabhupada is talking about in his letter. So it sort of correlates that the stars, just like the sun also has the sun planet, the stars also have their own living beings. So, you know, there's a lot that the scientists know. But there's also a lot that they don't know, because they don't have the means to discover this. They can have a very powerful telescope that can look into space, and they can get some information, extract some information from that, and draw some conclusions from that. But the knowledge is limited. Is limited. So coming back to the point that Srila Prabhupada is making here, according to Vedic cosmology, there is one sun, you know, the main sun, which the scientists may say is the most powerful of the stars. And we also understand the nature of the stars, as Srila Prabhupada explains, the same composition as this. But they are far different. They are far different in nature also. Therefore, according to the Vedas, we have only one sun and we have many stars. And Prabhupada says, even the moon, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is considered to be a star. So The force of Deity's pregnancy was so powerful that even the light that was coming from these stars and the moon and the sun was obscured. So we get an idea of the power of these demons. Just one point. If you want to know more about Vedic cosmology and I said the correlation, Radha Mohan Prabhu, I'm not sure if you know, is very knowledgeable in the subject matter. He has a YouTube channel. I was looking at just one of his videos last night, and that video had 36,000 views. And Radha Mohan Prabhu, in that video, you can go and see it, he draws the comparison between modern cosmology and the cosmology as stated in the Surya Siddhanta. Like, for example, modern astronomy says that the distance from the Earth planet to the Sun planet is 93 million miles. And then he goes on to show from evidences in the Surya Siddhanta. I've also, if you use the Surya Siddhanta and you do the calculation of the distance between Earth and the Sun, it also comes to roughly around 93 million miles. And then he takes each of the planets. Each of the planets, modern cosmology, distances between Venus and Jupiter and all of the other planets, and he takes the calculation from Surya Siddhanta, and in most cases, they almost are identical. Watch that video. It's very fascinating. Therefore, it sort of supports this point that Carl Sagan makes. It's the closest you can come to modern astronomy is what we find in Vedic knowledge. It's almost half past. I think I'll stop here. Very fascinating subject matter. I hope I didn't bore you with it. I went off in a tangent when I read this purport, trying to understand all these, this phenomenon. But I really wanted to do it with the intention of what Prabhupada was trying to tell us something. I was thinking, what was he trying to tell us? And we needed to, even if we do not have any in-depth understanding, at least some preliminary understanding. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. 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 Yes.
Of course, we don't, most of us don't have, but still we can understand it to a certain degree. It's very difficult.
Yeah. So, very much so. Once Srila Prabhupada was speaking and the devotees were amazed at the breadth of Srila Prabhupada's knowledge. And then they asked Srila Prabhupada, do you know everything? And Prabhupada said, no. He said, but Krishna knows and he tells me what I need to know. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam didami Buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To the one who constantly worships me with love. Pritipurva come. I give them the knowledge by which they can come to me. It's the same way as preachers too. There's one story. Prabhupada was asking the devotees to learn some verses from Sri Ishupanishad. And they only knew one verse, and they learned it. And Prabhupada was speaking to a big group of people. And while he was speaking, he referred to one verse and from the Ishupanishad. And he told the devotees, looked at them, quote it. And the devotees quoted it like that. And the whole crowd was simply amazed that they knew the whole Sri Ishupanishad. You know, but Prabhupada is so expert, you know. Okay, digressing again. Yes, sir, Deepak Prabhu.
Just wondering, according to Vedic cosmology, is there a categorical difference between stars and planets? Or is that just a definitional difference? Because you mentioned, kings and inhabitants of stars. So there are planets also. So is there a difference between planets and stars?
The Vedic cosmology does discriminate between the stars because the nature of the sun is, one can say it's the most powerful star, but we know that on the sun planet there are also inhabitants, there's Surya Dev. So as Prabhupada says, the composition of the stars and the sun is the same, but similar in quality, but different in quantity. You know, the sun is far more expansive and powerful.
So Prabhupada also calls the sun a sun planet.
Yes.
But it's a star as well.
Yeah.
So asking, is there a difference
in definition? Yeah. It's interesting sometimes what Prabhupada says. Yeah, Prabhupada definitely says the sun planet. Yeah. But every star is a planet too. Yeah. Yeah, well, I need to look it up, but probably you'll find that too. Hare Krishna.